Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In the Old Testament lesson, Genesis 3, we hear about the fall of man. Man being overcome by the temptation of the devil around the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The woman and then the man trusted the word of the serpent or the word of the devil, and thus they cast God and his word far away from their hearts, welcoming into our existence sin and its fruits of death and hell. In the gospel lesson from Matthew 4, we hear of Jesus overcoming the devil's temptations, not in a plush garden surrounded by the perfect creation and all kinds of things to eat, but instead in a wilderness without any food. That our Lord is set on doing his work of earning our salvation. Just about 2 months ago, on the Sunday that followed after the Epiphany of our Lord, we heard the account from Matthew chapter 3 of our Lord's baptism, of how the Father's voice sounded from heaven with words of pleasure for his only begotten Son, whose birth we celebrated at Christmas. We heard of the Spirit descending upon the Son and the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. You would think the coming off of this high and glorious sight of having the Father's voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am pleased," this high and glorious thing of the Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove, that Jesus would launch out into a public, serene, and yet glorious time of teaching, gathering giant crowds to himself right off the bat. But instead, God has a different plan. A plan involving humiliation. That Jesus is not there for glory. Jesus is there to earn salvation. A salvation that will eventually bring glory to God. But for now, the work had to be done. As the book of Hebrews says, he was tempted in every way, just as we are, except without sin. That where Eve and then Adam sinned, Jesus did not sin. Where they believed the devil and his lying words, Jesus continued trusting the Father and told the devil to be gone. That from the glory of the revelation of the baptism, we today find the humiliation of the wilderness and temptation. It says that Jesus fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. That he has true human flesh, and that's what we confess at Christmas time. And so the text says that he was hungry, I would imagine very hungry. But yet he had his work to do. And he came to be all of what the law and the prophets declared him to be, the Messiah, the Christ. And so, just like Moses, the giver of the law, and just like Elijah, the quintessential prophet, Jesus does as they did. All three of them, at accounts in Scripture, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It is very interesting that the other time we hear of the Father's voice from heaven is at the transfiguration of our Lord, which we heard about just about a month ago, where Jesus appeared in his glory, and Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, are speaking with Jesus about his coming crucifixion and resurrection. That the whole of the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testaments, wrap up into this salvific work of Jesus, that God has so ordered it this way, that he has done so for your sake. That why would Christ fast for so long? Why would he even go into the wilderness and suffer to begin with? why would he humble himself so much as to let the devil tempt him, to let the devil drag him from wilderness to Temple Mount to the heights of a mountain? Why would the Son of God allow that to happen? Because of the Son of God's great love for the Father and the whole triune God's great love for you and for your salvation. That this whole account of Jesus being in the wilderness is meant to be about you and your salvation. That the fall that had happened in Eden had to be undone. And so the devil, he does exactly what God himself set this occasion up for. That the Spirit had led Jesus away into the wilderness in order to be tempted by the devil. That was the purpose. And the devil does what God set him up to do. He tempts Jesus. The fight is on. The devil tempts Jesus in the same way he tempted Eve. He tempted him to give up trusting the Word of God and to trust something, anything, even a little bit, else. It is exactly as God had first said to Eve, I will put enmity between your offspring and the woman's offspring, that there will be fighting between the seed of the woman, the son of the virgin, and the ancient serpent, the devil. That Genesis 3 is on full display here in Matthew chapter 4, both in the undoing of the temptation, but also in the fulfillment of the promise of God, that the seed of the woman will come. And there will be much fighting, but in the end he will crush the head of the serpent. Here is this strife, as Jesus, humbled in his flesh, weakened by fasting, still submits himself to the devil's testing and temptation. Dear members of our Savior and all of our welcomed guests, this is the work of Jesus for your salvation. But it's also more than that. This is Jesus himself teaching you about his victory over the devil and giving you an example of how to avoid these common temptations, that no believer can expect a life free of temptation. If the devil was so bold, so arrogant as to tempt God himself, what are you compared to that? And so we will be tempted. And we may, because of the victory of Jesus that we heard about today in our gospel lesson and his example, we may indeed resist the devil, as the scriptures say, and he will flee from us. And even in this fight, even in our temptations, we are most certainly not separated from Christ, who holds all power and has even shown his ability, even in humiliation, even after being weakened by such long fasting, to crush the devil. How much more, if he could do that in his humiliation, how much more can he now be a help to you in your temptations as he has ascended into glory and his own state of exaltation? The first temptation, the devil tempts Jesus to doubt the word of the Father. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, was the word. How is that hunger? How is the misery of fasting in the wilderness? How is the loneliness? How is all of that that Jesus feels going on in his body go along with this word of the Father? The devil says, no, if you are God's son, then give up this humiliation stuff and tell these stones to be bread. That Jesus endures such derision and he resists the devil. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He quotes words that were penned by the Spirit through Moses. that God's word is true even if our experience is not going well. That the devil will be more than happy to draw out the worst things we can imagine in this life to get the slightest chance to throw it at you. So you are baptized? How can you be having so much trouble then? Does God really care for you? God says, what about you being his child? Does it feel like you are his child? Did God really say that in this case, you are to resist the devil by remembering what God did say about your baptism? And through this life be filled with trials and temptations, though this be the case, that glory for God, and yes, glory even for you, comes later. That God's word is true and it is trustworthy. The second temptation. The devil tempts Jesus to trust in the word, his trust in the word of God by misquoting the word of God. That false teachers, those who serve not Christ but serve the devil by twisting the word to suit whatever fancy they want or whatever fancy their master, the devil, wants, that this is the temptation they do all the time. They play fast and loose with twisting the word of God. So the devil takes Jesus to the heights of the temple, and Jesus, in his humiliation, allows the devil to do that to him. That to suffer it to be so for now. For it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness, is what he told John, and so we see that happening in our text today. Now we see the suffering. So the devil drags him there. Then he quotes the word, kind of. He leaves out the part of the word about how God protects with angels in God's ways, meaning that God protects those who are walking in his ways according to his word. But there is, of course, no such promise of protection for those who willingly step out of the way of the Lord, out of the word of God. He says, throw yourself down. The devil can't kill Jesus. It's not the hour for that. Kind of like how the devil could not kill Job, but could only tempt Job and give him all kinds of suffering in order that Job would himself despair and die. He tempts Jesus to do just throw himself off the temple. But Jesus responds with, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. That Jesus once again uses the Spirit's words through Moses. Don't test God. That it won't go well. Don't press against God's timing. Wait patiently and endure all things, knowing that God has it in his control and will bring the time of relief and comfort when it is that time, the perfect time, which might be the end of time. The interesting thing about this temptation is that at the end of this account, Jesus is indeed taken care of by angels in fulfillment of the true meaning of these verses that the devil so twistingly quoted to Jesus. The third temptation, all the kingdoms and their glory. That Jesus once again suffers the devil to take him to a high mountain, it says. And in a moment, Luke adds, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. The temptation is forget the suffering to come. Forget patience. Forget the pain. Forget all that and just have all this great stuff right now. Because Jesus was, in fact, the one that had been promised in Scripture to receive all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. The Old Testament speaks of this fact about the end of all things, that there indeed Jesus will be King of kings and Lord of lords. But the devil just wanted him to take the fast and painless track. Immediate power, instant gratification. No need for cross, no need for suffering. Just bow down to the devil and be rid of all this bad stuff. But this is idolatry. And of particular note, note that the devil doesn't demand total devotion. Just a little bit is enough to make an idolater. And this is, of course, the case as we apply it to our lives. This is the case whenever someone seeks out the glory of this world or the greedy struggle for more and more and more. This is the case when we don't faithfully endure all things with patience and with hope, that to this blasphemy of the devil, Jesus finally just speaks to him, "Be gone, Satan," and the devil leaves. This victory of Jesus is something we can draw upon in our prayers and our endurance of all the suffering that comes our way. Jesus suffered this to be so. It was necessary for your salvation. You needed to have a Savior tempted in every way like you are, but without sin. That you needed a true substitute who could do everything right. That you need a true substitute to suffer all that was supposed to come to you. That it should not strike us as odd that the Lord with patience endured all that the devil did in leading him around and tempting him. For the same Lord permitted his own people to crucify him. That this is the great love of Christ for you, beloved children of God. And as the only God who has taken on the flesh and endured temptation, you have a God in Jesus who can sympathize with your cases, who can sympathize with your life right now, no matter what situation you find yourself in. He understands all of our weaknesses, and he understands what our weakness can then endure. And he, in his mercy, gives us reprieve. That happy times follow sad ones. Pleasant times come after harsh ones. Restoration of comfort and peace, they come after afflictions. That Jesus himself knows what you go through. And he knows exactly when the perfect time for all of it is. Because Jesus, even here in the wilderness, was keeping track of your eternal fate. And he always keeps your eternal life in his mind, that our earthly mindsets may not be prepared for what the heavenly and eternal God has in store for us, but he still keeps us. Do you see what Christ has done for you? Then see now by your faith what he still does for you. That you can call upon him in your troubles and your trials. You can learn his word and you can use it like a sword of the Spirit that it is. That you can trust his victory, both here in the wilderness and of course the victory that comes later at the cross. That we have a marvelous Savior. We have a Savior who has shown his love for us over and over again. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.